Please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And once you've found 1 Samuel 30, please put your finger there or a marker there, and then go with me to Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit has really been speaking to me a lot lately about being given for other people. This is a word. What I have this morning is going to sound very similar to the last time I preached on a Sunday morning. It's going to be very similar to that. I just brought a word to the students in chapel on Tuesday that was essentially the same thing as what I'm going to be preaching today, but I can't get away from it. This is what the Lord has asked me to speak on, and I need to be obedient. If it sounds redundant, it's because the Lord wants it to be so. There's something that He needs us to understand. There's something that He needs us to get and to comprehend, and I really believe it's in line with what He wants to do in this church and in this school. And I'm praying that you'll really hear me this morning. You hear the Holy Spirit, please excuse me, that you'll hear Him more importantly. And just know that this comes from His heart and not my own. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. The title of the message this morning is How to Make the Fire Fall. How to Make the Fire Fall. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You can head back to 1 Samuel 30 with me now. And I just want to kind of preface this with what we just read out of Acts chapter 2. You know, we read that chapter, and it's very easy to focus on, you know, the fire fell. The wind came. There was an appearance, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit to everybody gathered in the house, and there was a filling that took place. The resources of heaven were poured into empty vessels. It was poured. All of heaven was poured into people for the purpose of going out and being a witness for Christ. And that's the part that we focus on a lot today is just, oh God, we want your power. We want your power. But the thing that the Lord has really been causing to stick out to me is the fact that they were all filled. That they were in one accord. There was nobody in that place that walked out of that room spiritually deficient. Nobody walked out of there feeling inadequate. Nobody walked out of there feeling insufficient or like they weren't part of what God was doing. Everybody in there knew that they had a specific role to play in what the Holy Spirit had done that day while they were praying. And the purpose of this word this morning is to make us aware of the fact that the fire only comes when you and I refuse to leave anybody behind in the body of Christ. The fire is not going to fall. The wind is not going to blow. The Spirit is not going to be poured out in a great measure until you and I come to the place where we refuse to see anybody left behind. If we are still so self-centered in our concern with what we get from God, just, oh Lord, bless me this morning. Oh, I feel good. I'm all filled up and everything. This is great, you know, blah, 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 in tongues, and oh, I understood that word. It was wonderful. God spoke to me. But we take no concern or no thought for the brothers or sisters to our right or to our left that just didn't seem to get anything. The ones that are struggling, and they're being left behind. They feel like they can't keep up. People around us are feeling inadequate, and the whole time we're just in our own bubble, you know, feeling okay, and so all is right with the world. And the Holy Spirit wants to bring us out of that place. He wants to do something in us as a church where we operate together, where we're one army, we're one unit, marching together, marching in pace, keeping in step with the Spirit, and taking thought for one another, having the same care for each other as we have for ourselves. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, there's a powerful illustration of this principle and what the Lord wants to do in us. And we're going to read beginning at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Now we're going to stop there for a few moments. Now David and his men have just returned from, they were marching with the Philistines, going out to battle against Israel, but they were turned back because the lords of the Philistines said, this guy is going to turn on us. You know, he's going to come into combat with his own brothers in arms, and he's going to refuse to fight for us, and he's a mighty man of valor. We don't want him on the field with us. So they sent him back. And earlier in the narrative, the king of the Philistines had given David the city of Ziklag as a possession, as private property, in return for his services that he'd rendered him. Now, it wasn't the will of God for David to join the Philistines, but nonetheless, this is the position that he was in. And he came to Ziklag after being sent away from the Philistines, and the Amalekites had come in and burned the city to the ground, carried everything and everyone in the city captive, and nothing was left behind. Now, everybody in that city, there were no strangers in that city. That city was given exclusively to David and his men. Everything in that city was precious to them. It was their family, their wives, their sons, their daughters, their personal property, and all of it was now gone. Everybody in that group, everybody among David's men, were going through the same tragedy that the other person was. There was nobody going through worse pain or less pain. They were all faced with the same difficulty, with the same situation, and they were all brought to a place of being strengthless. In verse 4, it says, they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They were brought to a place where there were no tears left to cry. There was no strength left to cry with. There was absolutely nothing. These men were empty. They were completely empty. They were completely depleted of all strength. There was nothing left in them. But in the midst of that, there's an anger that comes on top of it. And they're angry with David because, you know, he led us into this situation. It's his fault. Let's stone him. He's not a good leader. If it weren't for his leadership, we wouldn't be experiencing what we're going through right now. And David, being the mighty man that he was, you know, he was feeling discouraged, but then he began to encourage himself in the Lord as God. And, you know, that basically means he brought himself to strength again. He started reminding himself of God's faithfulness. He, you know, it literally means to seize something, to grab something forcefully. It's like you get a picture of, you know, grabbing somebody by the jacket and saying, get a grip, man. You know, think about it. Think about the faithfulness of God. You know, don't forget what the Lord has done. But he encouraged himself. It's like he had to grab himself by the shirt and say, don't forget, David. Don't forget what God has done. Don't be unmindful of the goodness that the Lord has shown to you. And he began to receive strength from remembering the promises of God. And David was then able to seek the Lord out of that place of feeling encouraged, after feeling strengthened. He says, bring me the ephod. And the priest comes. He inquires. The ephod was a garment worn by the priest whenever the king wanted to basically find out the will of God. And the priest wearing the ephod was able to communicate clearly what the will of God was. And often it was just a simple yes or no question. And you see that demonstrated here. David says, will I pursue after this troop? Will I overtake them? Will you deliver them into my hands? And the Lord answers and he says, pursue, for you will surely overtake them and without fail recover all. What an amazing promise. So you go from awful, awful tragedy to a place of encouraging yourself in the Lord, remembering the faithfulness of God. And then there's this awesome promise that comes. This wonderful promise, this incredible word of encouragement is brought to all those men that are standing there with David. And he says, let's go. Gird on your swords. We're going after this troop. God has spoken. We're going to recover everything. And so you would imagine they're feeling very encouraged. There's probably a fight in them. They're probably ready to go. God's spoken. He's with us. We're going to go after this troop. We're going to bring back our property. We're going to bring back our families. We're going to recover everything that the enemy has taken away from us. There was probably just a fury in these men, ready to take vengeance on what the enemy had done. And that's a type of us as Christians. We at times feel so robbed by Satan. We go through tragedies. We go through situations where we're brought to tears. And oftentimes where our strength is dried up in the midst of those situations, there's no more power to weep. Have you ever been there? Where you've been in a difficulty for so long, you feel like you can't cry over it any longer. The pain is just, it's there. You know there's nothing you can do about it. And so you just can't even cry anymore. And there's anger that sometimes come with that. You know, it's almost like that you don't even want to be encouraged. You know, you don't want anybody to try and, you know, let's just stone him. You know, David might have been going on, now come on, men, we can't sit down like this. That maybe that was why they wanted to stone David. You know, maybe he tried to open up, you let us into this, and now you want to encourage us and tell us it's going to be okay. Have you ever been there before? Just, you don't want anybody to come up to you and try to encourage you. You just, somebody tries to speak positively to you, say, well, you know, brother, you know, sister, it's okay. Like, stop, don't bother trying to talk to me right now. It's okay, it's normal. I've been there too. You know, you're going to go through places like that. It's not necessarily right, but that's just part of dealing with this awful thing called the heart that abides within every one of us. Sometimes we just don't want to be encouraged. And any voice that would want to speak words of comfort to us, we want to silence it. Because we're so busy being caught up in self-pity. There's despair there that just wants to hold us down. And we don't think there's anything that could be said to lift us up out of where we are. So David had to encourage himself. And he began to strengthen himself, being reminded of the promises of God. He gets a word from God. And now his army is ready to fight. And they set out and they go to the brook Besor. And when they get there, he finds that even after God has spoken, even after there's a miraculous promise that has come from the Lord, there's a promise that God is going to bring deliverance. He is going to see them to the other side of this journey. He's going to give them victory over the enemy. There's still a small group. It's really not that small. It was 1/3 of his army. There was still a group of people in his army that just still had no strength to go forward. They had no strength to fight. And they couldn't continue on. They were so bogged down between the physical labor of trying to march after a fleeing army, just having come back from, you know, a faraway land to their own city, the emotional trauma and stress of finding it burned to the ground and seeing that their family has been taken captive. These men were absolutely strengthless. There was nothing left in them, and they had to be left behind at the brook. They had to be left there in that place. They had to be left behind while the others went forward to fight the battle. And it's with that thought in mind, let's go to verse 16, please. And we're going to continue the story from there. In verse 16, it says, "And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil." So again, out of tragedy, there comes self-encouragement, reminding yourself of the goodness of God. There comes a miraculous promise from God. There comes a fight in the heart to go after the enemy and not rest until you've got what God has promised. And then the victory finally happens. They won the battle. It's obvious that David and his men were horribly outnumbered because the survivors that came out of that battle, the survivors of the Amalekites, were just as many as what David had with him. So that tells us very clearly that when David first got there, they were horribly outnumbered. But it didn't seem to matter because it doesn't say that, you know, they had to fight and push back the enemy. It just says David smote them. Period. End of story. He just went down and that was the end of it for the Amalekites. They fled and they have all the spoil. They come back with riches. God not only gave them back what was theirs initially, but he gave them even more on top of that. He imparted an even greater blessing than that which they had lost. What they had felt was taken away from them, God gave back to them and even more so. It was an incredible, incredible victory. It was something awesome and miraculous that God did for David and his men. But there were still 200 back at the brook that didn't have the strength to go into the battle. Now, what about them? Now, let's continue at verse 21. "And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them." That literally means he asked them of peace. He put a blessing upon them. Verse 22, "Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial." That literally means worthless people. of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with what the Lord has given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Now, one third of David's army was unable to go with him because they were bogged down by discouragement. Now, David says in verse 24 that he that stays by the stuff, that means the baggage. You know, you have people in the body of Christ today. They come in, they want the same thing that you do. You strong ones, you ones that have learned to encourage yourself in the Lord. Those of us that we have faith to trust the promises of God. And when difficulty comes, we're a little more seasoned. We know how to deal with tragedy in the sense that when God speaks, we're able to move forward. But there are people in the body that have not yet learned to encourage themselves in God. They're babes in the Lord. They're weak in faith in some cases. And there's an attitude that can come in us sometimes where, well, they didn't go down to the battle, so they're not getting to take part of the spoils. We think that, well, you know, if they don't learn to press in, they're just not going to get anything out of this service today. If they don't learn to just get it together and press on and come into God, then they're just not going to get to partake of what's happening today. And I really believe that what the Lord is telling us is that is not an acceptable attitude for us as the body of Christ. There needs to be a fight in us. If God brings me into victory, I want everybody around me to know it. If I see somebody struggling, they all went through the same tragedy, folks. If I know that somebody is going through a situation like unto mine, if God has brought me into victory and they're still struggling, how dare I pat myself on the back and say, well, thank God that's over, and just walk away content. When somebody else is still stuck at the brook, unable to go forward, still wondering if victory is for them, still wondering if what God has spoken, you know, it's like they were unable to draw strength from the word that God had given David. David was built up by what God had spoken to him. The 400 men that went with him were built up by that promise that came, but there were 200 men that for whatever reason could not draw strength. They could not find comfort in what God had said. And perhaps there's a few of us in this room today that maybe you hear the promises of God. You know what God speaks in His Word. You see other people entering into worship. You know they might be going through a difficult time, but for whatever reason, you just don't feel like you can come in. And you're stuck at the brook wondering, what's wrong with me? Why am I so faint? Why? If I'm able to go into victory, if I am one of the 400 that's able to cross over the brook, I'm not going to be content. You know, David could have just said, well, this is David's spoil. I've got my portion. I've got mine. And he could have just gone home and said, thank God that's over. Anoint me king and let's start ruling over Judah and Israel. But he didn't do that. He said, no, these that have been left behind, they will not be deprived of the victory that God has given us. There was an unrest in David's heart. He was not going, because he had business that he needed to tend to, folks. He took some of that spoil and he sent it to his allies because he owed them for goodness and kindness that they'd shown to him. Not long after that, he needed to call all of the people of Israel together so they could anoint him king at Hebron. But before that could happen, he had 200 people that hadn't come into victory. He had 200 people in the body, 200 soldiers in his army that had not entered into the joy that the others had. Because even when victory came, even after God had moved, there was still an attitude. There was a voice coming from a small minority in the army saying, well, because they couldn't fight, until they learn to fight, until they get this fight in them on their own, they don't get to have any of the spoil. You go win your own battle. You go fight your own battle. I'm not going to fight for you. I got mine, and that's the end of it. No, absolutely not. In Jesus' name, no. How many times have you and I'm including myself in this, sat in a sanctuary, and another man who went through hell to get a word brought it to us, and he spoke it to us under the anointing of the Spirit to spare us from having to go through what he had to go through to understand that truth? How many times, Pastor Tim's not here this morning, but I'm still going to honor him in the sense, the man comes in here some Sunday mornings, and he's fighting. He is fighting for clarity of thought. He has no peace in his mind. It's not because he doesn't feel he's got a word. It's just the enemy's coming against him. And he gets up and he preaches under the anointing and he gives life to us. And we come down to the altar and we weep and we thank God and we say, oh Lord, that was wonderful. Thank you for moving. And we walk out saying, praise God, I'm out of that. Never taking into consideration, this man fought for me. This brother laid down his life so I could be brought into something that I didn't have the strength to bring myself into. He had to learn to encourage himself in God so that he could encourage me. We don't take into account, it takes death to self in order to build up the body, folks. We want to encourage people. You know, it's like if there's no brokenness in your heart and you just want to go spouting off, things that are just, you think they're encouraging, but you're just speaking out of the self-satisfaction, you're only going to be a nuisance. There's no encouragement in that. But when there's a broken heart of love behind those words, and there's an experience that you went through to say that, David knew what it was. David had wept the same tears that those 200 men had wept. He had wept the same tears. He had cried over the same situation. And he, for whatever reason, because he was called to be the leader, because he had walked with God for a long time, was able to bring himself to a place of faith where he trusted God and received deliverance because of it. But he didn't despise the weak ones who were stuck at the brook and couldn't come into what he had. He wouldn't rest. He would not carry on with business as usual until they all had been brought into it. He said, God gave us this spoil. What did he say to those worthless men of Belial? You will not do so with what God has given us. He said, this is not my victory. He's going back all the way to his first battle that we see in Scripture where he fought Goliath. What did he say? The battle is the Lord's. It is not my battle, and the victory will not be my victory. This is part of, you know, what I had spoken on Tuesday was out of that story about David and Goliath, and the truth that the Holy Spirit had given me was that Goliath was not David's giant. Goliath was not David's giant. Goliath was Saul's giant. He was the army of Israel's giant. David was not moved to discouragement. He was not intimidated by Goliath. The army of Israel was. It was their giant. It was their blockade. It was their hindrance from the enemy, keeping them from going into victory. And David was called out to slay that giant. Why? So he could get himself a good reputation? So he could be seen as valiant? That's what his older brother accused him of. You just want to show off and make everybody believe you're brave. He didn't come out for that. He came out to fight for a group of people that could not fight for themselves. And until you and I come to a place where we will let God fight through us for others, the fire's not going to come. I don't want to be the only one filled. I don't want to be the only one filled. I love entering into worship, guys. I love it when the Spirit is moving and I can just feel the anointing and it's easy to lift my hands and it's easy to pray in tongues and there's clarity in getting up to speak and getting up to preach or whatever the case might be. But the thought, the reminder that what if there's just one in here? What if there's just one that's not coming into this, that's just feeling left out? My God, it burdens my heart. And I'm not saying it's discouragement. It's not like that. There's a love in me now that wasn't there before. And I want it to grow. I want more of it. I want to love more the people that might be stuck at the brook. They know God is moving. They know the Spirit is here. They know there's a presence of the Lord. But for whatever reason, they can't cross over into it. They just can't get into the battle. I want to bring them in. I don't want to just, well, I'm happy. I feel anointed. I'm in the presence of the Lord. I don't want to just stop there. I don't want to come back saying this is David's spoil and that be the end of it. David never lost sight of what was his. He knew God had given him something. He was not relinquishing the joy that God had imparted to him by giving him back his family. He was by no means laying that down. I'm not saying that we should all be depressed when everybody else is depressed. No, but if somebody else is hurting, we hurt with them. And we endeavor to bring about healing. We endeavor to strengthen them and bring them into the same victory that we have. What good would it have been if only 119 out of 120 had been filled in that upper room? God knew there needs to not be one deficient person in this body. When Moses led Israel out of Egypt, the Bible says in the book of Psalms 105 verse 37, there was not one feeble person among them. There was not one weak person there. And that's not saying that our church is deficient because there's weak people in here. I am not calling anybody in this room spiritually deficient. But I'm saying that until everybody has come into victory, I don't want to move on. I don't want to go forward. I don't want to go unless you're going with me. I don't. I genuinely don't, from the bottom of my heart. I don't want to see one third of this room stuck behind while the other two thirds are just, oh, hallelujah, praise God. And there's a one third of the room left behind saying, what's wrong with me? Why don't I get it? What's my problem? Everybody else is. I'm the only one feeling like this. I don't want that. God forbid that that should ever be the atmosphere of this sanctuary. God forbid that that should ever be the attitude that's in this house. I don't ever want to take on that worthless attitude that says, well, they need to learn to fight their own battles. Come on, son, buck up. You need to pick up your sword and get going. Come on, let's go. That's not encouragement. It's not. Because there are times, brothers and sisters, I want to warn you of something. By the Holy Spirit, your battles will either soften you or harden you. And the outcome will be determined by how much you allow the Holy Ghost to work in your heart. If you, just in the middle of a difficulty, in the middle of a tragedy, you're clinging to questions of why, oh why, God? This isn't fair, God. Why are you doing this to me, God? It's going to harden you. You're not going to be able to offer people the compassion that they need. You will not be an encourager. You will not be. You will be incapable of edifying the body of Christ because you are only allowing your heart to harden. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, in the middle of any situation you go through, there is a tenderness that comes into your heart. There is a compassion that comes into you, and you are an encourager. You will have a word in season to speak to the body when it's feeling down, when her hands are hanging weak and her knees are feeble. You'll be able to strengthen her. You're called to do that. You are called to slay other people's giants. You are called to bring back riches of the kingdom for other people. David didn't just bring back his own family and be content with that. He brought back enough to go around for all. Because let me tell you something. David spoke to that group of 200 before the men of Belial did. Because when he came up to them, he said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Nobody's disappointed in you. God's not angry with you. Nobody's fed up with your weakness. Nobody thinks you're deficient. Nobody says that about you. He was speaking before the men of Belial ever got to open their mouths. And when they did open their mouths, David stood up to fight for them. And I don't believe in this story, David is a type of Christ. I believe in this story, David is a type of what you and I should be as Christians. Where we are the first ones speaking, I want to beat the devil to the punch. If I know that somebody is downhearted, if I know that they're downcast, if I know they're wrestling in despair, I want to open my mouth before Satan can. And if I know that he's lying to them, then I want to stand up and say, no, you shut up. That's a worthless attitude. They will not be held out. They will not have their victory withheld from them. It is still theirs. The only reason I stand is because God has made me to. And what God has done for one, he will do for the other because we are all one body. We are one body. Period. If I'm brought into victory, it's because God wants to do it in you. And if he brings me in before you, it's so I can show you how to get there. It is not so I can hold it to myself and just be content with my own spirituality. God forbid that I should ever come to that place. God forbid that we should ever stop fighting for each other. God forbid that we should ever allow that. I want the fire to fall. I want to see revival hit our nation. I want to see the church just bloom and blossom again. I want to see Acts chapter 2 repeated. You know, where there's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit and there's an empowering. There's a word from God. There's truth reigning in the church. But if you and I are not willing to fight for each other, if we are content as long as I'm filled, that attitude will never make the Holy Ghost come. We need to be all in one accord. And we're not content until we are all filled, until everybody is filled, until the Holy Spirit rests on each of us. Because what did it say in Acts chapter 2? There was a cloven tongue of fire that rested on each of them. Each of them. Nobody walked out of that room spiritually deficient. Nobody walked out lacking something that their brother or sister did not have. Yes, there were some that were called to preach, others who were called to serve, but nobody was deficient. Nobody was deficient. Nobody was lacking anything. Nobody at all. Nobody at all. And the question I want to pose to you this morning is, what do you need to do to fight for somebody? Do you just need to learn to be more encouraging? Do you need to let the Lord work in you so you can have more compassion? Do you have unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody? Has somebody offended you and you need to forgive whether or not they apologize? Have you offended somebody and you know that you need to apologize whether or not they really want to talk to you? What do you need to do? What do you need to do to fight for your brother or fight for your sister? That's the challenge I'm putting to you this morning. What do you need to do to fight for others? I heard a story recently from a man that I deeply respect, and he said that he works with a coworker that he knew had a problem with him. And he knew there was an issue there, and he didn't feel, because his coworker was a fellow Christian. And he just said that, you know, I went to them one day and I walked into their office and I said, I don't know how you feel, but I know that I don't want to make it to the end of this journey without you. And his coworker began to weep and said, I don't want to make it to the end of this journey without you either. That's the heart that we all need to have. That's being the body. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. I'm not content to go forward without you. I'm not content to worship without you. I'm not content to be the only one getting blessed in this sanctuary while there's still one third of us, or even if it's just one person. 99, but there's still 99 are in the spirit, but there's still one who just feels so lost, feels so incapable of coming in. I'm not content to leave one person behind. And that's the attitude that if you and I will take that on, we are going to see God move in powerful, powerful ways. We will see Him fall on our services. Students will see Him fall in our chapels. Members, He will fall in our church. You know, I'll tell you what, when the summertime comes and all you students go home, we're down to the skeleton crew in this house. You know, I mean, it's just, it's sparse in the pews. You know, you look out and it's kind of empty. You know, but the Spirit still moves. He still moves. Why? Because we're acting as one. We're acting as one. He said, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst of them. You know, I've had times of, I do missions prayer meetings every Monday. You know, we pray for the nations. And there have been so many meetings where only one person has come in. And those have been some of the sweetest prayer meetings that I've ever been in. There was such a presence of God that came, because that's all it takes. Two people that are in agreement, two people that want the same thing, and that are willing to fight for each other and for the kingdom of God. Remember, this story is such a powerful portrayal of the body of Christ today. They all were going through the same difficulty. They were weeping the same tears. They were experiencing the same pain over the same situation. Some had the strength and had the faith to go into the battle, and there were still some that could not. But when victory finally came, the spoils were brought back for everybody, even for those who were stuck at the brook. I don't want to come back and just be content with what I got, while there's still a whole bunch of other people that feel like they've got nothing, they're empty, they're dried out, they're in despair, and they can't go forward. I am not content to live that kind of Christianity, and I'm not content to see us be that kind of body. Amen. I'd just like to read one more passage of Scripture. If we could go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're just going to read from verses 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Before we read on, beloved, I want to tell you something. The Lord taught me a while ago and has really helped me along the way. The Lord does not anoint you for you. He does not anoint you for you. The anointing is a wonderful thing. It breaks yokes, but that's the thing. It breaks yokes. It breaks other people's yokes. It breaks bondages in other people's lives. The Lord does not anoint you for you. There is a joy that comes in knowing you've been used of God. There's spoil that you bring back from the enemy's camp, and it is yours. It belongs to you. God has given it to you. Rejoice in it. But don't forget the others. Don't forget the weak that were left by the brook. Let's continue again. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, Paul is very, very wordy in that passage. And if you're reading in the King James, it can get even more confusing. But essentially, he's bringing across the truth that we are all one body. And the reason why we are all one body is so that we can build each other up. You know, my right hand doesn't get annoyed with my left hand and like punch it and just say, oh, you're too weak. I don't like, you know, my left hand. It's useless to me. You know, if you didn't have, you may be a right-handed person, you know, but if you didn't have your left hand, you'd still have a lot of difficulty. We need each other. We need each other. Well, I think last night during the play, I don't know if there's anybody here that didn't get to come see it, but last night in the play, the part that moved me the most, there were two points where I was about to just bawl my eyes out. And one, the one that was most moving to me was the part where, you know, Christian was left, that Vanity Fair faithful had just been martyred, and Hopeful comes in. And Hopeful picks him up off the ground and looks at him and says, do you need a brother? Do you need a brother? That was the part that I think moved me the most, because the answer is yes. Yes, I need a brother. I need a sister. I need somebody to fight for me when I don't feel like I can fight for myself. Look, when you're in that place, if you feel like you're one of the 200 stuck at the brook, I want to tell you this morning, nobody is frustrated with you. God is not frustrated with you. Nobody is looking at you and saying, you're such a disappointment. Why won't you get it together and learn how to fight your own battles? No, if you can't fight for yourself, open your mouth and speak. I will fight for you. Those around you that can say, I feel like I'm one of the 400. I feel faith in my heart. I know I can go forward. You better be willing to fight for the others. If you feel weak this morning, if you feel weak, you need a brother. You need a sister. And we're here for you. We're here. We have to be. We're one body. Christ is not lame. He's not a cripple. He's God Almighty. He's filled with all the resources of heaven, and he's poured those things into us. That's what Acts chapter 2 was all about, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there were manifestations of gifts, but what's more important is the resources of heaven were poured into 120 people. All authority in heaven and earth was given unto them because they're representatives of Christ. And I want that. I want that in the church. I want to see everybody in this room walking in that. I don't want to see anybody feeling deficient. I don't. And beloved, I'm telling you, I have my days. I felt the enemy resisting this word so much this past weekend, because I've had times just in the back. You know, I don't have anything written down up here because I couldn't write anything. I spent too much time wondering, God, is this really what you want me to say? There was no real assurance, but I couldn't get away from it. And, you know, just, I know that it's enough. That was the word the Lord gave me. He said, Nick, what I give you is enough. Just do it. That's all he said. And I'm standing before you today telling you, I have my days where I am stuck at the brook and I cannot fight. I can't. And I need somebody to take me by the hand and say, look, I will fight for you. God gave me victory in the area you're struggling in. Let me tell you about it. Where somebody can tell me, where someone can share the riches of Christ with me. Because that's what David did, folks. If you've come into a glorious revelation, if God has brought you into the storehouse of heaven, so to speak, if he's imparted something to you, it's not just for you. It's not just for you. I heard Pastor David preach a word at a graduation service here. It was actually at my graduation in 2007. And he said, folks, the Lord didn't just tear the veil in the temple so man could come into him. He tore the veil so he could come out. And that truth, I didn't fully understand it when I heard it, but there was something about it that just gripped me. It gripped me in my heart and was like, God, what does this mean? You tore so you could come out. Because we always think, well, it's so I can go to God and I'm going to press in. But what about those that just don't have the strength to press in? Good news, the veil wasn't torn so you could keep trying to press in and fail and feel miserable all the time. He tore the veil so he could come out to you when you're stuck at the brook. And if you and I have made it beyond the veil, if you and I have made it into the presence of God, we are called to go back out and give to others what has been given to us. What would have happened if they had stayed in that upper room? What would have happened? This is great. Let's not leave here. This is incredible. Let's not go out of this room. The Holy Spirit's moving. No, because there were 3,000 people headed for hell on those streets that if they did not hear the gospel, they were going to die in their sin. Thank God they didn't stay where they were. But the glory that had been given unto them, they took it out to those streets and many came to Christ as a result. Thank God that Jesus didn't let Peter build 3 tabernacles on the Mount of Transfiguration. Why? Because there was a demon-possessed boy at the bottom of that hill. hill that desperately needed the power of God to come into his life. Thank God they didn't stay where they were at. Thank God God never calls people to sit still and do nothing. When he gives us something, when he imparts his life to us, it's to go down that mountain and give it to others. Have you seen God? Have you felt like you were on that Mount of Transfiguration? Just an incredible experience. You're like Peter, just you don't know what you should say. It's just so overwhelming in your heart. It's because somewhere down at the bottom of that mountain, there's a person in need. It could be a believer, it could be an unbeliever. But God's going to put people in your path that he needs you. Because you've been filled up, he wants you to fill them up. You have been filled so you can fill others. And that's why the Lord just keeps pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, that Acts chapter 2 was not a one-time experience for the church of Acts. Because in chapter 4 it says again, you know, the place was shaken where they were gathered together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Same group of people. They were filled again. Why? Because they kept pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And as they were faithful to be poured out, God kept filling up and filling up and filling up. You want to see the fire fall? You want to see the Holy Spirit move in this house? Then you need to take up arms for your brother. You need to be willing to fight for your sister in Christ. We need to be willing to lay down our lives for those who cannot lay it down themselves. They already feel like they're dead. They don't have the strength to cross over the brook and enter into the battle. But that's where God calls us. Will you stand as one body? Are you going to be content with what you have received and call it a day? Or are you going to make sure that everybody comes in to what you have been brought into? That is when the fire falls, folks. That's when we're going to see Pentecost happen over and over and over again. That's when we're going to see it happen. Let's stand this morning. I'd just like to pray again before I make any kind of altar call. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that you delivered the word this morning, God. Lord, you have spoken what was in your heart. And God, there's a call this morning to stand as a body. Lord, there's a call this morning to stand together, Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we answer that call, Lord God. Father, we choose to answer that call, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would end any division that's in this room today. Father, let there be absolutely no schism in the body. Father, let nothing be out of joint. We want to be fitly joined together, edifying each other, increasing the body, edifying itself in love. Father, that's such a beautiful truth. You've called the body to edify itself. Oh God, I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you've given us the power, you've given us the resources, you've given us the spoil of the enemy, so we can pour into others, Lord God, so we can pour into the person to our right and to our left. And God, I pray, Lord, that when we walk out of this house today, that's exactly what we would do, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray now, God, that you would meet us in this time. Father, just as we go back into a time of reflection, Lord, a time of honoring you, a time of giving your word place in our hearts. God, speak to us, Lord. Father, whatever I have not been able to speak today, God, I pray that you would speak. Holy Spirit, if there is anybody stuck at that brook today, unable to go into the fight, unable to encourage themselves in the Lord, unable to grip themselves and remember the faithfulness of God, Lord, we fight for them today in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you would raise up the weary, O Lord. I pray that you would put a fight in everybody's heart in this room. Lord, let giants fall today. I don't care if they're mine or not. God, I pray that we would all move forward, O Lord. Let there be such a discontentment in our heart, O God, that we will not be content to go forward and see anybody left behind. O God, make us like that shepherd in the parable you told. He had 99 sheep ready to follow, ready, staying in the fold. But Lord, there was one missing, O God. Father, let us not be content until that one is brought back. Lord, if there's just one that feels out of place, one that feels deficient, God, let us go after them, O God. Let us go after them, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not rest. Let us not be content with our own blessings, with our own spoil, and not caring for the lack of others. God, I pray in Jesus' name you would bind this church together as one body in a way that we've never been before, O God. Lord, let us move as one. Let us speak as one. Let us worship as one. Let us love as one, O Lord God. Let us love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. God, it was love, Lord. It is always love that proves that we are who we say we are and that you are who we say you are, O God. It is always love that bears witness to
our testimony, O God. Holy Spirit, let love reign in this house. Let it reign in this temple. Let it reign in our bodies, which are your temple, O God. Let it reign in our minds. Let it reign in our hearts towards one another. Let there be forgiveness where there is need for forgiveness. Let there be repentance where there's a need for repentance. But God, let us be fitly joined together. No division, no schism in the body. Oh God, give us the strength to labor for this, to fight for this in Jesus' name. Oh God, I thank you. You're calling us today. You're calling us to stand for one another, oh God. And we respond. Lord, we respond to you today. We answer that cry, oh God. We answer that cry today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just this is the altar call just from the Lord, that if you're answering the call, you say, God, I want you to help me stand for those who cannot stand for themselves. I want you to teach me to fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. Then you come down here right now. Come down right now. Just head out of your seat. Come down here and ask the Lord to begin to do that in you. This is a calling today. This is a calling. You are answering a call of God. And if there's anybody in here that you feel like you are one of the 200, you feel that you are stuck at the brook and you can't go forward, then you come down as well. We are going to pray for you. We are going to pray that you get delivered. We are going to share this victory with you. We are going to share what we get from God today. Nobody's walking out of here saying, this is David's spoil and that's the end of it. Everybody has a share today. Everybody has a share. Everybody has a portion. Everybody has a portion. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. No one here is going to keep you out of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is such an important word. I want to tell you why. Because Jesus says the greatest of these is love. And this word is a very practical example how you and I shatter any stronghold and the power of love comes in. And I'll tell you what, because all of us find ourselves at the brook and all of us will find ourselves in a place of victory. We're tried just as much in prosperity as in adversity. Our character is tried, but the spirit triumphs in both those things. But I tell you something, everybody will be at the brook and everybody will be in a place of victory. But let me tell you a true story. In the early 70s, a football team, which is actually a soccer team, because we're talking about Argentina, a soccer team was flying together in an airplane in the Andes, in the mountains in Argentina, and the plane went down. And all those young men on this soccer team, many died, and there was some left. And as the survivors were grouping in the snow, and how are we going to survive? One of the teammates, as they began to ration out the food and the drink, he went beside his brother who was unconscious and he began to break off and demand that this unconscious brother have a share in the chocolate and a share in the food. And they began to persecute him and say, are you kidding? We're dying here. We're facing something. And you're breaking off food and drink for him who's unconscious. No. That's not right. He would not give that ground up. And he stored and hoarded for that, his brother. And he actually took of himself. Over time, they were there weeks upon weeks upon weeks. That unconscious brother came to. And his brother fed him. His brother gave him that drink. That brother, at the cost of his own life, it didn't even look like they were going to get out. But finally, after weeks and weeks of starvation, on that mountain, that man, that young player that was unconscious but had been stored for and then fed by his brother, he said, I'm walking out. He walked out over the Andes and down and got help, ended up sending the rescue team. The man that was unconscious, I tell you something, what kept him walking across the Andes? Was it not the love of that brother when he was helpless, when he was hopeless, when nobody should have cared for him, when everybody should have said, every man for himself? This is life and death here. And yet that brother, there was just something. I'm not going to let my brother beside me bleeding and dying. I'm not going to do it. There was something, I tell you, it was God speaking. You will feed him. You will give him drink. And in the end, that brother was the one who rescued them all. And I tell you, We must get that vision, because the one that we help when we feel strong is going to be the one that somehow maybe be the one who is the breakthrough that we all get out. And it takes grace to receive when you're down at the brook. It takes grace to receive it, and it takes grace to give it. It takes all. But we get bound together in love. We get bound together in love. We get bound. Do you think if you receive something from someone's hand when you're at the brook, you ever forget it? When you shouldn't be cared for and they cared for you, do you ever forget it? And then when you get strong, that's when you turn around and you look to give. And we get bound together in love. We defeat the devil in love. This is such an important word. And Brother Nick's going to come and he's going to pray. But if we can remember this, this is how we get out. This is how we win. This is how we're bound together in love. Here's where the joy and the journey happens. And the most amazing people are going to end up being the ones that we help along the way that surprise us. And when, if you're down at the brook, you know something? There is great potential in you at that moment to be a greater blessing than we'll ever know. This is an important word. This is an important word. And Brother Nick, you come now, and as God leads you, and you pray for us.
If you came down this morning because you just feel like you're stuck at the brook, and you really, you want people to gather around you and say, please, I need strength, I need encouragement, please just lift your hand up, and everybody, if you see somebody with a raised hand, I don't care if it's just one person, just lay hands on them, gather around them, and we're going to pray. Just look for a raised hand, gather around them. We are one body. We are one body. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we give you glory this morning. Father, we give you praise, O God, and I thank you for these brothers and sisters, O Lord, that have raised their hands. God, these are the ones that you want to raise up, O Lord. Father, these are the ones that you want to make giant killers, O God. Father, you took a ruddy sheep boy, Lord, from the pastures, O God, and you raised him up to slay giants of grown men. Father, you made him a deliverer. Father, I thank you that these that feel like the failures of today are going to be the heroes of tomorrow, O God. Father, they are going to be strength to the body of Christ. Father, we rebuke every lie of hell, everything that is making them feel faint and weary. Satan, we stand against you as one. You cannot fight against the body of Christ. You tried to nail it to the cross, but it overcame death. We have overcome death because our Savior has. You cannot fight the body. You cannot fight the body. We stand as one unit today. We come against you. I plead the blood of Christ over every mind, over every heart that is being harassed by the enemy. Father, I pray that you would bring great deliverance. Lord, every person here has a share in the spoil. Every person here has a part in the kingdom, and they will not be left behind. We will not leave a man behind. We are all going forward. We will not rest until we are all filled, till the Holy Spirit rests on each of us, on every one of us, O God. Holy Ghost, I pray that you would lift up every set of hanging down hands. You would strengthen every pair of feeble knees, O God. Father, we look to you to deliver us all. Deliver us all, O God. Not just one of us, not just two parts of us, but every part, O God. Every member. Let us be fitly joined together. Father, for those who just feel stuck, they feel that they have no fight to go forward into the battle. Father, I pray that a battle cry would arise in their hearts today. You would put a sword in their hands. They would rise up in the strength of God, and they would take back what the enemy has stolen from them. Father, what you have given us, we impart to them now, Lord, in Jesus' name. By faith, O God, we share with them what you have shared with us, O Lord God. We will not hold back what you have given us. Just as David said, the Lord has given us this spoil. He has preserved us. He has delivered the enemy into our hands. Who are we to hold back anything from our brothers in arms? God, we give today. Oh, by your Spirit and by faith, we give today, O God. Father, we love our brothers and sisters. Lord, we love each other, O God. Lord, we love them, O Father. We love them. Just begin to tell that person you're laying hands on, you love them.
Just tell them you love them. Tell them they're valuable to God. They're valuable to you. They're valuable to the kingdom. Oh God, lift them up today. Father, if there's distress because of a situation, God, bring an answer. Father, bring deliverance from every negative circumstance, every trying situation. Lord, if it's a need for provision, I ask you to provide financially in every way that's necessary. God, if there's need for salvation of family members or close friends, Holy Ghost, I pray that you would answer those cries. You would answer that need and you would send your love to the persons that are in mind, oh God. Father, we love you today. We love you, Lord, and we believe you for mighty, mighty things, oh God. Lord, you are going to move us forward. But Lord, we tell you today, God, in agreement with your word, in agreement with your heart, don't take us forward unless we're all ready to go. God, get us all ready to go, Lord. We all want to go. When you brought out Israel, there was not one feeble person among them. God, make us as Israel coming out of Egypt. Not one weak, not one spiritually deficient. Nobody feeling like they were deficient. Nobody believing they were a failure. Oh God, bring us out like that today. Bring us out like that today, Lord. Father, we love you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Those of you that came down, the Lord just opened something up to me that I had no understanding of before. When I was doing a word study on the brook Besor, I wanted to know what that meant to see if there was anything significant, and it actually meant joy. And I thought, well, how in the world does this apply, Lord? What do you mean joy? And the Lord, I just thought, well, I'll ignore it. You know, not everything is significant. I'll just leave it out. The Lord just spoke to me. Right where you feel like you are at your very worst, God is going to restore your joy to you. You are going to have everything restored to you, and you will feel the joy of the Lord. It is here at this brook. It is here at this place of feeling like you do not have any more strength to go forward. It is here that you are going to be met by the body of Christ, and you will be met by God, and you are going to get back everything that you feel the devil has taken away from you. Do you believe God this morning? Do you believe God this morning? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, as always, this altar is open to anybody that wishes to stay and pray.